title of our lesson today is My Reasonable Service, and our devotional and background study comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class. I'll try to bring out some thoughts here, but keep in mind as we're studying today, as we're reading, that the title is My Reasonable Service. And once we as saved individuals stop and think about that a little bit, you know, we need to turn over in our hearts, what do I owe God? What should I be doing for God? And you know, that's something that you can ask yourself when you're alone and you have time to meditate on it. I'm sure that you probably all have done that in the past. But it's a very deep, it's a very important subject, and there's a lot of weight here. It's a serious thing. Service to God is a very serious matter. Reading here from Romans 12, starting with verse 1, this is the entire 12th chapter. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, we have a lot of instructions here. We have a lot of ways that we ought to behave ourselves and how our thoughts ought to be going. But as the title says, this is reasonable. Paul has not written down anything here that we can rightfully say, no, that's too hard, that's too much, God's asking too much from me. We can't do that, not honestly, not truthfully. But this is a very serious thing. We see here that the first verse here, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is, we need to keep ourselves separated from the world. We need to be have the service of God and the things of God in the forefront of our heart, and to be meditating upon these things in prayer and wanting to do the will of God, to wanting to see the will of God be accomplished in our lives. I can only speak for myself as to how often I fail in that. Paul speaks about it being a warfare in the body, the carnal body versus the spiritual man, and how that these two things fight against each other. And it's pretty easy for me to allow my mind to overcome what my spirit, what my heart is telling me God would have me to do. It's easy to just put God off for a little bit of time and go ahead and do what it is I want to do, or talk about something that I want to talk about, or just whatever it is, put my own will first above the will of God. But I believe he's telling us here that our lives, our bodies and our lives, the way that we live our lives, are to be dedicated unto God. It says then to be not conformed to this world. That's a difficult thing to do, because when I get out and I start mingling with the people of the world, and you can't help that. I mean, it's needful. I need to be a light and an example to the people that I work with and the people that I come into contact with. But I don't need to be conformed. I don't need to just blend in and go along with everything they say and just be just like them. But rather it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to have the thoughts that the Bible teaches, the thoughts and the teachings of the Bible on my mind, and a prayer in my heart. It's been stated, you can pray anytime throughout your workday. You can pray, and that's true, because I know that I've done that sometimes. That you can ask the Lord to be with you and to give you guidance and help and to know what to say or when to be quiet. There is a time when we need to be quiet, but there's a time to speak also. And I said, we don't need to just go along with everything the world does and says, and that's true. But we need to know when to stand up. We need to know what to say, because it's not a good thing to go around just offending people without cause, without it's something that I guess I could have done. I could have offended somebody. I could have offended a lost individual in my actions, and I may have. I probably have. We need to be on guard, and we need to be watching out for these things, because it's easy to fall into the running with the world and to mask the Spirit of God that's in us, to let the carnal spirit shine out, and people see us and they think, well, you can't trust him. He's just two-faced, and that you can become caught up in that sometimes. We need to be careful and not let that happen. The way that we can keep that from happening is to be studying our Bibles, to be in prayer, to be near to God, so that when the thoughts and when the actions come upon us that we might be tempted to do something, the Lord will be on our hearts warning us and guiding us away. Because I think that's what happens a lot of times. We just kind of slowly drift away from God and not really doing anything wrong, but not really doing anything right either. And then something comes up and we just fall head first into it, and there we are. We've offended somebody or we've done something wrong. He goes on here to say in the third verse, "For I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." We need to be careful of pride. We need to not be lifted up with pride and to begin to think that, I'm living a good life. I'm doing what God would have me to do. I'm teaching Sunday school. I read my Bible a little bit each week. I read this book here and I'll write down a few notes. I'm really doing good. That's wrong, because I'm not doing anything. The Bible talks about the potter and the clay. Well, we as God's children are nothing more than clay and tools that God can use if we're willing and will allow Him to do that. Paul's saying here to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man. God is the one that has given us any ability at all that we might have. God is the one that allows the preachers to stand up and preach. He's the one that allows us to be able to have the health to get here today to meet together. And we need to keep that in mind. And he says here to think soberly, to understand, to know where our help and where our strength comes from. He goes on here. Now to speak about the comparing the body, the physical body, and the body of the church, how that we have many different offices in our church, many different positions to be fulfilled: Sunday school teachers and preachers and deacons. None of these people need to think of themselves more highly or to think of themselves as being above others, but rather as servants. There's the example that the Lord gave us in the New Testament, where that He washed the disciples' feet, and I think it was Peter that said, "No, don't wash my feet." And the Lord said, except that he did that, Peter wouldn't be one of His. I'm paraphrasing. I may have messed that up, but I think you get the point, that we need to be a humble people, willing to do these things, willing to be servants, not that we are in charge of something or that we are over somebody or we're leading somebody. We are servants to bring forth the gospel. That's what our job is, to bring forth the gospel, to teach other people, to be examples, to be the salt of the earth, that they might come to know and understand that they are lost sinners and that they need to be saved, that the Spirit of the Lord might convict them. Not anything that we said or done, but the Spirit of the Lord. Paul says here about the different things, the ministry, exhortation, prophesying, and he's saying to do these things with all your spirit. If that's what it is that you have, then as a gift, as a talent, to take that and to use it as with your whole heart to serve God. You know, I see people, and it's obvious to me that they have talents. One that just came to my mind, I don't like to really want to call names, but Cindy is great at testifying. She can stand up and she can give a testimony, and it's heartfelt. That's I've never been able to do that as well as I feel like she does. I think that she's got that talent, and I believe that she uses that, and that's what needs to be done. And I think that's what he's trying to say here, that some people have those abilities and they can do that, and that's what they need to do. Some people don't. I've come to the conclusion that I'm just not a very good public speaker to stand up. I don't think that's my talent. That's not to say that I never ought to stand up and testify, because there's times when I need to, and I should, and the Lord leads me to. I have to do that. But it just seems that some people have a natural ability more so than others. Singing would be another good example of that. The point that I want to make is that we as God's children need to look for what it is that God has blessed us with, what it is that we can do, and we need to put all our put our efforts into that to serve God and to not let that talent or that skill or whatever it is to lie waste, but to take it and use it as the best that we can. Going on down here into the 12th verse, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saint, given to hospitality. The patient in tribulation is a little bit difficult sometimes, because for me it's easy to want to get to the end, to solve a problem, to take matters into my own hands and do whatever. I'm not patient sometimes. Sometimes I guess I am. I don't know. Lisa says I am, except when I drive. She says I don't have any patience when I drive. And that is true. People really... Yeah, we won't go there. Carrying on into the 14th verse. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Okay, now these other things that I read, you're probably thinking, yeah, that's what he said is good. Yeah, I need to be more prayerful. And I need... Yeah. Well, we're getting into the bless them that curse you. And we've talked about this in the past, about the difficulty here. But the difficulty, the fact that it's hard, the fact that it's not natural, doesn't mean that it's okay to ignore. It's not. We have to, you know, be above the rest of the world. We have to be of a character that's not seeking revenge, that's not, just laughing when you see your enemies get tripped up. That's hard to do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's been a few people that really, when their downfall came, it was hard not to rejoice. I don't think that's right. But Bert understands, don't you? It's hard, but that's not what he's saying here. And the point being, we need to be in prayer for those people, because people that are conducted, people that are mean, that are spiteful, they need the Spirit of the Lord. They need to be turned around. And if we're not praying for them, if we're not asking for God to come into their lives, they're not going to turn around. They're not going to turn around on their own. They're not going to see that, oh, I did somebody wrong and it caught up with me and now I'm being punished. Unless the Spirit of the Lord comes upon that person, they're just going to continue along their way. And we, as God's people, need to be the example. We need to be having the Spirit of the Lord about us, that they might understand after they've done us wrong and we're still praying for them, or we're still concerned about their health, then that might be a wake-up call to them. And again, I'm not telling you that I'm good at that, or even that I do that. That's a real struggle against human nature, because it's human nature to want to see somebody get their just desserts, or to see them, you know, get caught up in the lies that they told or whatever. But we need to pray for them. That's where our hearts need to be. We don't see we need to look at Jesus as our example, the way that he dealt with people, the way that he was obedient unto death to God, that we who didn't deserve anything at all might be saved. He goes on here to say, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We need to have a feeling for other people. We need to have empathy, to identify with them, to understand the pain that they're suffering when they've had a loss. That needs to affect us. When one of our brethren is going through hard times, it ought to cause us to have sorrow too, that we can pray for them, that we can feel what they feel, because that's what he's saying here. Weep with them that weep. He's also saying rejoice with them that rejoice. And I think we can do that maybe a little bit easier. We all like to hear about people being saved, about a family member or someone getting saved. But, you know, I don't know if we really get the joy that we could get from that good news when we're not near the Lord, when we don't have also that ability to weep with those when they weep, then, you know, that also separates us from the ability to have the joy and to rejoice with the other people when they rejoice. Going on here, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Had to read that a little bit because I didn't really understand it and had to think about it some. But I believe what he's saying is, don't set your sights and your desires on power in this world to move up, to be the boss, to earn the money, to be the one in charge, but rather to identify with the people working, the poor, the downtrodden, because that's where we need to understand to not be lifted up. We need to avoid the things that are going to lead to pride and to, be not wise in your own conceits. To begin to think that we've done something upon our own, that we worked our way into a position of power and wealth, but rather to give God honor and glory in all things, to understand that He's where all things come from. I don't want you to misunderstand and think that I'm saying money is bad. I'm not saying that. But to not let that the wealth enter into our hearts to take a priority over God. We go on down into the 17th verse here, and again, we recompense no man evil for evil, but fight things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I do think it's possible sometimes that you're not going to have peace with people, that there's sometimes when war is necessary. But we don't need to be jumping onto that. We need to try as much as possible, as it says here, to work things out, to try to make peace with our neighbors. And I'm speaking both as neighbors that you have living next door to you and also other countries. But we do need to understand that sometimes it is necessary to go to war. I'm afraid that we go to war when it's not necessary, when other options may have been available. But I'm not of the mind that we as God's people or God's nation never, ever, ever ought to be involved in a war. There are some times when it's necessary. But it's our duty, it's our responsibility to exhaust all options, to be in prayer to God that He might guide us and let us know what it is that's necessary to serve Him, to be under the influence of His will. And then, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Again, we're getting into that how we treat people that have done us wrong. And one thing that when it's tempting for me to want to strike out at somebody or try to get back at somebody for something that they've done, one thing that kind of helps me through it is the Lord said, vengeance is mine. And I do believe that God sees things when people have done me wrong. And He is there. He'll take care of that eventually. And I just need to be patient. I guess that goes back to the patience in the tribulation. But the Lord will work things out. He'll take care of things. I need to just turn it over to Him, to be drawing near to Him, that I can turn it over to Him, to be prayerful to Him. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I guess the only thing that I want to say here is this part about be not overcome with evil. I do think it's possible that we can give in and be overcome, that we can allow ourselves to be separated from God, not to to the loss of our salvation. Our salvation is a sealed thing, but we can lose our influence. We can blend in so completely with the world that they can't see any difference in us and anybody else. And we can allow that to happen in our lives and in our thoughts if we're not careful. We need to be on lookout for that, on guard for that. I'm going to finish up here, and this is something that I've read several times in the past, but I feel like it fits this lesson today, so I'm going to read it again. It's in Ecclesiastes, the 12th verse, the 13th, and the 14th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not reasonable service, this is our duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And you know, that's another thought that we ought to keep in mind. Things are going to come to light. Things that we say, things that we do, the thoughts that we have, they're going to come to light someday. And whether they be evil or whether they be good, the Lord knows. And it's going to come out. Does anybody have any thoughts or any questions, comments? Appreciate y'all showing up today and being here. If there's nothing else, keep Brother Armour in our prayers, 11 o'clock hour. And I'll ask Brother Quinn if he would to dismiss us.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. The opportunity we have to come back with our house. We thank you for the Sunday school lesson, the one entitled it. We thank you for our church, for each one that makes up this body. We ask Brother Armour, next service, Lord, you know, we can stand, help him bring that to us, that we need to hear. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, errors, and mistakes. In Jesus' name.